21. Corrin flicked on his lightsaber and began helping Anakin cut into the ridge of the Yuuzhan Vong ship. Tahiri got the idea and joined them. Together they sawed a hole deep into the ridge before Anakin's knees began to buckle from his rapidly increasing mass. Suddenly a chunk of the ship broke free and fell inward, pushed by the same acceleration that was about to kill the three Jedi. Atmosphere blew out, curtains of ice crystals sparkling in the starlight as Corrin leapt through the gap, pulling Tahiri with him. Anakin followed. Normal weight returned instantly as they entered the ship, probably due to the same gravity-bending Dovin Basals that drove the craft. Anakin looked around him to see where they were. In the mingled glow of their lightsabers, Anakin made out a dark grotto, walls haphazardly patched with luminescence. Even as he watched, however, the light faded as the bitter cold and vacuum that slunk in with the Jedi killed whatever plant or creature manufactured it. The chamber's function was difficult to determine. The roof was very low, no more than a meter and a half, and it rambled on for a considerable distance. Black columns or tubes ran from floor to ceiling every 2 meters or so. The columns bulged in the middle, and Anakin thought they were pulsing faintly. Corrin gestured for the two younger Jedi to touch helmets with him. "Someone will show up to check the hull breach soon," he told them. "We need to be ready."
"I'm ready," Tahiri said. "Really ready. This is a lot better than sitting on some old rock waiting for them to find us."
Anakin sensed a bit of annoyance from the older Jedi as Corrin went on with his analysis. "I'm guessing this section, whatever it is sealed off. Else there would still be air whistling through. We need to find the lock." "Too late for that," Anakin said as his lambent lisped a faint warning. "We've already got company coming." "Close. How can you tell? I feel them." Corrin nodded. "May the Force be with you," he told them. Then he moved off to crouch near one of the pillars. Light appeared toward the far end of the chamber, 6 lambents like the one in Anakin's sword. In their light, he saw 6 shadowed bipeds stepping through a typical Yuuzhan Vong dilating lock. He took deep breaths, relaxing his muscles one by one, preparing for the fight. Closer, he saw they wore rust-colored form-fitting suits. Creatures, really, of course. Probably some vacuum-hardy variant of the Ooglith cloaker. Their faces were visible, however, through transparent masks. To Anakin's surprise, only 2 of them revealed the facial scars of warriors. 2 others had the more delicate tattoos he had come to associate with shapers. Indeed, their cloakers bulged conspicuously around their heads, doubtless due to the tendril-bearing creatures they wore as headdresses. The remaining pair had the look of workers or perhaps slaves. The 2 warriors set themselves in guard stances while the shapers examined the hole. Anakin felt rather than saw Corrin creep forward, not toward the group of Yuuzhan Vong, but toward the door they had entered through. Moving carefully but as quickly as he could, Anakin followed, tapping Tahiri on the shoulder to get her attention. "Come on," he suggested in the Force, hoping she got the sense of it. She did. The 3 crept through the darkness behind the repair party. In the vacuum, their feet made no sound at all. They had almost reached the lock when Anakin felt the tingle of approach behind him. He turned in time to see a warrior loom up silently, amphistaff arcing toward Anakin's head. Anakin leapt back at the last instant, nearly letting the weapon graze him. He flicked his lightsaber on, and it blazed to life. The warrior's eyes went wide with surprise. He didn't know what he was facing, Anakin guessed. Whatever his feelings, the warrior didn't hesitate long. He renewed his attack, spearing with the sharp end of the weapon. When Anakin caught the attack in a circular parry and pressed to bind, the staff suddenly went limp, escaping his net of light. It came flicking in an arc toward his face, now semi-rigid. Anakin launched himself forward and under the attack. As he passed by the warrior's right side, he lifted his weapon parallel to the floor in a cut across his opponent's face. The energy blade sliced through the mask, and the warrior fell back, flailing. air and blood mingling and freezing in a mass around the cut. The other warrior was battling Corrin, while Tahiri tried to work the lock. Corrin's dual-phase weapon moved in tightly controlled arcs, always where it needed to be. That fight was nearing its end, too. Corrin had stripped a long patch of cloaker from his enemy's arm. It was already healing, but vacuum and frostbite had done their damage. The arm hung uselessly. Corrin parried a flurry of increasingly wilder and more desperate attacks. Taking the last in a parry that pushed his opponent's staff high above their heads, he then turned his point down and drove it into the warrior's exposed armpit. The blade sank deep, but the warrior still brought his weapon down, cracking solidly against Corrin's head. Both men fell away, Corrin with his hands to his helmet, the Yuuzhan Vong writhing in death throes. Anakin spun to face their remaining enemies, but none was moving toward them. Not warriors, he thought, but still dangerous, he amended, remembering the deadly tools on the Shaper Mejan Quad's hands. Still, he ought to feel them approaching if they tried. Anakin knelt by Corrin. The amphistaff had dented the helmet of the vac suit, but worse, a crack had formed between the metal and the transparisteel. He could tell by the rime of frost forming on it. Corrin was already struggling for consciousness. Tahiri was still working at the lock. Anakin pressed his gloved hand over the crack, wishing he had a patch, but those were in the emergency pack, on the other side of the room, past the Yuuzhan Vong. By the time he went there and got back, assuming he didn't have to stop and fight, Corrin would be dead. He increased the feed of Corrin's oxygen in hopes of keeping the pressure high enough to prevent his blood boiling. Pale light fell across them, and he looked up to see that Tahiri had finally cycled the lock. He dragged Corrin through, and within seconds the smaller chamber beyond was pressurized. They passed through the inner lock more easily and into another corridor, this one still illuminated by the phosphorescent fungi. Anakin quickly worked Corrin's helmet off. The older man was red-faced and had a nasty bump on his head, but otherwise seemed to be in pretty good shape. Within a minute he was standing, albeit shakily. "Thanks, Anakin, Tahiri. I owe you both." His head jerked this way and that. "We need to keep moving," he said. "A ship this size could have 100 warriors on it." "I've never been so glad to be wrong," Corrin admitted later. In under an hour they had defeated the remaining 5 warriors on the ship and rounded up and incarcerated the rest of the less military Yuuzhan Vong. Now the 3 Jedi sat in the control room, or what passed for it. The ship, if by ship one meant the available living space, was actually quite small. The bulk of the vessel was the concealing stone of the asteroid and vast caverns of greenware that none of them could even guess the function of. "We were lucky," Corrin said. "If we'd been most places on the surface, we would have had to cut through 50 meters of rock. As it was, we were on the cooling fin. At least that's my guess as to what it was." "This must be some sort of scout ship," Anakin guessed. "Or a surveillance craft," Corrin said. "At the moment, that's not the most important question. We need to know 3 things, fast." He ticked them off on his fingers. 1, does the rest of the fleet know we've captured it? 2, where is it going? 3, can we fly it? "Tahiri?" Anakin said. Tahiri had settled into the chair facing what Anakin knew from experience to be a bank of indicators. Embedded lumens, several villips, patches of varying texture and color that were probably manual controls. The real key to flying the craft rested in the loose cap Tahiri held in her lap. Called a cognition hood, it established a telepathic link between pilot and ship.
"I can fly it," she said softly.
Corrin grimaced. "Why not let me try it? We still don't know what hidden dangers using that thing might have."
"I've flown one before," Tahiri said. "On Yavin 4.
"It has to be her," Anakin said. "She speaks and thinks in the language, for one thing. Since the scientists have my Tizo worm, she's the only one of us who can. And—" he trailed off.
They changed my brain, Tahiri said bluntly. I can fly it. You can't, Captain Horn.
Corin sighed. I don't like it, but you might as well give it a try. At this point, I have to admit you two have a lot more practical knowledge than I do when it comes to Yuuzhan Vong technology.
Tahiri nodded and placed the cap over her short golden hair. It writhed and contracted to fit. Her eyes clouded, and sweat started on her brow. Her breath chopped raggedly.
Take it off, Corin said.
No, wait, Tahiri said. It was just a little different that time. I can handle it. I'm adjusting.
Her brow furrowed in concentration. The ship's name is Stalking Moon. A hyperdrive jump has been laid in. It's coming up in about 5 minutes.
Two organisms suddenly waggled to life, and between them appeared a hologram, showing something that might have been a map, complete with unfamiliar icons. One, shaped like a three-pointed star, was highlighted in red and moving rapidly. A few of the others were moving as well.
That's the fleet, she said. The fast-moving thing is us.
Her head turned toward them, though her eyes were hidden by the hood.
I don't think anyone is following us.
Can you tell where the jump is taking us?
Tahiri shook her head. There's a designation. It translates to something like, next prey to feel our talons and glory.
Yagdul? Anakin speculated. We'll see soon enough, Corin replied. If so, this ship may have been sent ahead to make tactical maps or something. We may be the first of the fleet to arrive. Anakin, you may get your chance to warn Yagdul.
True, Anakin said. If the...
Who lives at Yagdul anyway?
The Given, Corin said. The Given don't blow us out of the sky. We are, after all, in a Yuuzhan Vong ship.
Well, there is that, Corin said. But we have a better chance there than staying here. If Yagdul is where we're going, we're headed back to a Yuuzhan Vong base, for all we know.
You want me to try and stop the jump? Tahiri asked.
Anakin watched Corin consider that. Then the older Jedi shook his head in the negative.
No, he said. We're in this deep. Might as well see what the bottom looks like.